Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, May the 15th. All of a sudden, it's like humid here, humid and muggy. It kind of feels like it's going to rain after several days of sunshine, and it felt like early summer. Well, today it feels a little bit more like spring, where the threat of rain. But, you know, welcome to Texas. If you don't like the weather, just wait 20 minutes and it will change. That's what they've been telling me for all the years I've lived here. And you know what? It's true. The weather around here changes a great deal. Today we're going to talk about what sort of the best way I can describe it is that the political winds are changing. And what was assumed 6 months ago doesn't appear the same today. You know, 6 months ago it was going to be a blue wave, big Democrat wave. They were going to sweep everything. Well, it doesn't look that way right now anymore. In fact, the Democrats seem to be the one in the defensive. And we'll talk a little bit about that as well. We're going to remember something that happened on this day in 1972 that had profound political consequences, and it may have changed the election of 72, not in the sense that Richard Nixon would not have won, because I think he was going to win re-election that year, but certainly the landslide component of his re-election may have been different based on what happened on this day in 1972 when George Wallace, then the candidate for the Democrat nomination, was shot. He wasn't killed, but he was no longer able to campaign much after his disability that happened on this day. But I want to begin with just, you know, from time to time we talk about how the left in this country is just totally out of control, and I don't think they know it. But another example, I'm sure you've all heard that the First Lady is in the hospital. And, you know, she's having some kind of a kidney treatment, and I don't want to touch on it too much because, frankly, I don't understand it. So rather than say something incorrect, I'll just say it has something to do with the kidney, but it's not serious. It's nothing serious, and she has to be in the hospital just for 2 or 3 days, I believe, just a routine operation, nothing serious. And we're obviously very happy to hear that. We're also very happy that everything is going fine, that her recovery appears to be underway. But I mentioned about some people in the left who simply cannot control themselves. And a good example is a fellow by the name of Stephen King. I think he's an author. I haven't read anything. I think he's a famous author, but I confess that I have not read anything by him. Maybe I should. Maybe I'm showing my ignorance because I don't know who he is or have not read something of his. I mean, I know who he is. I just have not read any major book by him. But anyway, he tweets a message about the First Lady being in the hospital for a few days. And basically, to paraphrase his tweet, he basically says, "Good for her. She doesn't have to put up with him for several days." A totally unnecessary tweet. Okay? I mean, just totally, completely unnecessary. If you don't like the president, that's fine. It's a free country. You can do whatever the heck you want. But, you know, I think we always have always had a certain protection for the first ladies and for the first family. I would have never said something like this about Michelle Obama. And if anybody had, they would have been destroyed in the media. They would have been like, oh, my gosh, how dare you talk that way about the first lady? But this is the type of thing that is hurting the left. And since the left is associated with the Democrat Party, this is the thing that is hurting them. It's hurting them a great deal because this is irrational. This is not a political difference. This is not a debate about North Korea or a debate about whether or not the president should have dropped bombs in Syria or whatever. This is strictly irrational. This is an attack on a woman who's in the hospital. And it's just completely crazy. And I'm wondering if people in the left realize how silly they are when they say things like this. So, Mr. King, I thought that was very stupid. I thought it was very stupid on your part to do this. I don't expect you to apologize, but I hope you realize how stupid. And based on some of the responses that he's getting, I think maybe he's realizing how dumb it was to say something like that. I mean, look, you don't take a shot like that at a lady in the hospital. It's the same thing that we went through with Barbara Bush, where we had that professor taking a shot at a 92, 93-year-old lady who passed away. I mean, come on, folks. We can be better than that. I certainly hope so. Well, let's talk a little bit about what is happening in the country. 5-6 months ago, the accepted consensus, if that's the right way to put it, the idea was that the Democrats were going to have a fabulous 2018. They were going to just run away with everything. It was going to be their year, and they were going to sweep the House, 40, 50 seats, you know, just a major sweep, and that was going to happen, and that was inevitable. Well, it doesn't seem to be so inevitable right now, as we're looking at some of the metrics that are indicating that what was once a 10 to 15 point advantage for the Democrats in what they like to call the generic tables, now all of a sudden it's down to 3, 4, 5 in that range, which is very close to the margin of error. And when it's 3 or 4 points, usually that does not translate into any kind of a wave. When you're 10 points plus, that's when it translates into a wave. So this is all happening, and as more and more reports are coming out basically saying not so fast, not so fast, not so fast on that Democrat wave, now we have a fascinating, this is fascinating, article from Willie Brown. Willie Brown used to be the Speaker of the House in California, and he was an assemblyman, I guess Speaker of the Assembly is the technical term out there. He was a very powerful Democrat. I mean, for many, many years, this was a powerful Democrat. This is the kind of Democrat who people talk, you know, he talked, people listen. Willie talks, people listen, that kind of influential guy. Well, he just came out with some interesting comments. He was basically saying, look, the Democrats are going to need more than just we hate Trump. They're going to have to come up with some kind of a message because, as he himself said, Trump is a lot more popular than the Democrats think that he is. And by the way, that's true. And Trump always tends to underperform, or his support is always understated in polling data. We saw that in 2016, not only nationally, but we saw that during the primaries. And he's saying, look, the Democrats are going to need a message here. They're going to need more than just, hey, we hate Trump and we're the resistance. And he comes out with a statement like that. This is a profound person who's making a statement like this. He doesn't need to do this. He's retired. He doesn't need to get involved in partisan politics. But his honesty, I thought, was really amazing, his honesty in calling out the Democrat Party for not having any ideas. Then you go to Jimmy Kimmel. This is, of course, a late-night comedian. Well, he calls himself a comedian. Frankly, I think I don't watch him, so I'm just going to stop there. But he now comes out and he says, well, you know, maybe the country's tired of all these Trump jokes. Maybe we got to say something else. Now, I think what's happening with Jimmy Kimmel is, frankly, the advertisers are probably getting to him because, I mean, look, the Grammys and all of those awards programs took a beating in the ratings. But anyway, he's saying, you know, maybe we should come up with a different joke, maybe change the jokes a little bit. But then, on top of that, the Washington Post comes out with a story in the last 24 hours saying, you know what, maybe this GOP intensity is a lot stronger than we thought it was. Maybe those Republicans are a lot more animated than we thought they were. And when you put all of this together, in the middle of May, it doesn't necessarily give you any conclusive information about what will happen in November, because so many things can change. I mean, I can see this going both ways. You know, you can see a scenario where the Republicans do real well. I can see a scenario where Democrats do real well. I can also see a scenario where nothing much changes. Basically, the Republicans stay in control of the House and maybe pick up a few seats in the Senate. So I can see all kinds of scenarios here, but it's probably way too early to bet on anything. But what is obvious is that we've gone in 5 or 6 months from a consensus that the Republicans were going to win everything, take over everything, to one right now which is a lot more cautious. And there's another story that was in the media today about Nancy Pelosi basically putting the brakes on all this talk about impeachment, saying, hey, we're helping Republicans when we talk about impeachment. She's exactly right. Besides, look, what are you going to impeach him about? I mean, impeachment is something very serious. It's happened twice in our history. It's very serious. It's not just a question that we don't like Trump and we're going to impeach him. You got to come up with high crimes and misdemeanors. So what you're seeing is a Democrat Party that thought they were going to do real well to a Democrat Party right now that is, frankly, a little confused and a little confused on tactics more than anything else. They really don't know what to say because I think they're very divided in the Democrat Party. You have people that want socialized medicine, but then you have people who say, we cannot afford that. Let's have something else. So it's a divided party, and I think they're having a hard time coming up with a message for the midterms, whereas the Republican message is very clear. You know, we have a tax cut, we support the president, and we're going with that. Again, we don't know which one of these two messages is going to work, but for the time being, the Democrats don't have one. So the one without a message is usually the one in trouble. If you have a message, at least you've got something to go with. But if you don't have a message, well, what are you going to do except lose? And that's the problem for the Democrats. They don't have a message. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos Guedes, and then we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guedes Harpies. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Tzatziki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Tzatziki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to all of that on the show information. If you click on Carlos Guedes, you'll be able to see his schedule. Well, I want to say happy birthday to a couple of my, a baseball player, George Brett, who's 65 today. Man, what a great player he was, Hall of Famer. And then Trini Lopez. Remember him, Trini Lopez, If I Had a Hammer, Lemon Tree, great singer. Back, I guess, 60s and 70s. He's 81. He's from Dallas, and he lives here in Dallas. Just an absolutely wonderful musician. Happy number 81 to Trini Lopez. And it was on this day in 1973 that Nolan Ryan pitched the first of his seven no-hitters. On this day in 1973, he did it against Kansas City. Well, on this day in 1972, we were in the middle of the primary season. On the Democrat side, on the Republican side, it was pretty much of a done deal. President Nixon was seeking renomination and there wasn't any opposition to speak of. I think there was one person running, but nothing of consequence, nothing of concern to President Nixon. But on the Democrat side, there was quite a battle. You had George McGovern, you had Hubert Humphrey, you had Ed Muskie. You had a really very contentious primary, very exciting primary. And then there was a fellow by the name of George Wallace, who in 1968 had run as an independent. He got 14% of the vote. He also carried, I think, five or six states. And there's no question that George Wallace in 1968, by picking up all of those southern states, more than likely helped Richard Nixon win the presidency, although we will never know for sure. But, a lot of those states that went for Wallace more than likely would have gone for Humphrey in that election. But, George Wallace came back in 1972, but he ran as a Democrat. He went back to his Democrat Party. He was the governor of Alabama and was a Democrat, the old-fashioned Dixiecrats or Southern Democrats, well-known for segregation and that kind of thing. So George Wallace ran basically a populist campaign in 1968 and definitely in 1972, very much appealing for the blue-collar vote, appealing sort of running against the hippies, sort of running against some of the violence and lawlessness in the country and that kind of thing, kind of a tough guy approach to solving our problems. And he was actually doing fairly well in the primaries. And then on this day in 1972, May 15th, 1972, he was shot in Maryland. He was campaigning for the Maryland primary, and he was shot. He was not killed, but he was disabled for the rest of his life. I think he tried to campaign, but it was impossible because of all of the pain and all of that he had. He didn't win the nomination, but he did give a speech at the convention. That much he did. But in many ways, the fact that he was shot that day took him out of commission and probably opened the door for the party to be taken over by the element that eventually led to the nomination of George McGovern in 1972. And of course, we know what happened. Richard Nixon won the presidency in huge numbers. I think had Wallace not been shot, Wallace would have forced the party more to the center. I don't think he would have been nominated, but at the same time, I don't think the Democrats would have nominated McGovern either. I think they would have probably nominated Humphrey or maybe Ed Muskie, somebody more of a centrist, somebody who would have been a lot more competitive against President Nixon that year. But as it turned out, as I say, with Wallace out of the picture and the party moving so far to the left with George McGovern, what you had then was all of those Wallace supporters basically ended up voting for Richard Nixon, which is what gave Richard Nixon the landslide of 1972. So George Wallace was shot on this day in 1972. As I say, he survived, but there's no question that the politics of 1972 changed dramatically because all of the votes that he had ended up going with Richard Nixon because the Democrats were moving so far to the left. I think that maybe he would have run as an independent again. That's a theory of mine. I have no way of proving it, but I think had he not been shot, he would have never gotten the nomination, but maybe he would have run as an independent. And all of those votes that he had in 68, he probably would have gotten one more time. George Wallace, after the assassination attempt, he eventually came back and he was governor of Alabama, but he changed a great deal and he became actually, he changed a lot with respect to racial relations. And he died, I think in the 1990s or so. And by the time that he died, he had really changed a great deal on racial relations. And I think recognizing the mistake of his earlier days, something that happens, I think, with a lot of people who lived in the South who understood the injustice of what was being done to blacks back then. But George Wallace shot on this day, and there's no doubt in my mind that it changed the politics of 1972. Well, thank you so much for listening, folks. Hope you enjoyed our little history trip there back to 1972, the year of American Pie. How do you like that? The year of American Pie. That was the year that American Pie was the big hit on the radio. Thank you for listening, folks. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you later.